John chapter 15, commencing with verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Amen. Well, good morning. You know, Bishop always said, Major Ian Thomas always said, just load the barrels and just give it a crack. You know, well, I'm hoping the barrel's loaded a little bit over the years and all. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, you know, this is just really a continuation of yesterday, which makes sense since yesterday ended at the last verse of 14, and we picked up with the first verse in 15 today. So it's really just a continuation of that message, and I'm not going to repeat it, maybe, never know. But as Bracken was reading, and I was still just asking, God, what do you want to say? There's so many things. I mean, this, y'all have heard this preached hundreds of times, the abiding thing. And I don't really have anything to add to that, I don't think. I mean, first off, it's not that complicated. It's just simply abide, you know. Just do it, you know. Don't overcomplicate it. And it seems to work very well when we just do it in simplicity. But what I do want you, a verse here that was very life-changing for me. And as Bracken was reading this, it didn't click to me when I read through the reading. Maybe because I was reading it on an iPad, so that may be the word of the Lord to me, is don't read off the iPad anymore. But it's marked in my Bible. And so I'm just going to go with somebody, maybe it's YouTube or one of you, are going through a really hard time and you're doubting. You're doubting who you are in Christ. You're doubting who Christ is in you. You're just doubting. You're doubting whether this amazing God could actually truly love you, because you've just recently done something, or recently didn't do something, or just for no other reason than that you started just listening to the wrong voice in your head telling you that there's no way that God can love you because you're just a mess. And that was the case for me most of my life, was that I was very aware that I was a mess. You know, I was pretty aware of that. Rhonda understands that I think most addicts of any kind realize most of the time that they're a mess. They just ain't figured out how to unmess the mess. And the fears of not, you know, and it's really, really a weird thing. There's a place, and I think this is probably all people with an addictive type personality, or maybe it's just all people, that there's this fear. There's this actually fear that you can't succeed. And so you don't ever do anything to succeed. You never put it out there and take any kind of a chance, you know. I've known people that didn't take jobs, my dad being one of them. He was offered an incredible job at one time. Now, my dad was like about a third grade education, self-taught radiator repairman, and a company that produced radiator and parts for radiators heard of him and interviewed him and wanted to hire him, but my dad wouldn't take the job because he was afraid he couldn't do the job. And so many of us live that way. Now, we should live with the wisdom of, can I do the job? You know, it's like somebody offers me a job to be a nuclear scientist. I don't need to take that job, you know, or a rocket scientist. Yeah, no. Or a brain surgeon. You know, we do know that we have certain limitations, but we should never be afraid to step out in the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing. And so I was going through this time because I had really, I had really blown it at work this day. I mean, it was bad, you know. I didn't actually hit anybody, but it got really, really close, you know. And I did say some words that should never exit anyone's mouth, much less someone who's trying to be a Christian. But I uttered those words. And I made up some new ones, too. So I was like in a really, because I was in a struggling place to start with, because I had been away from the Lord for so long at one point in my life. And this was like when I was trying to reconnect to the Lord and walk out a life as a Christian. But all my life, I've always had this low self-esteem. I can't do it. All that kind of stuff. This voice in my head always telling me what a failure I was. And so this day I was a total, it's like, that's all I could hear. And so I actually went to a Christian bookstore that was in Fairfield, which was kind of like a miracle thing in itself, a Christian bookstore in Fairfield, Alabama. And I walked in the store, and I was just walking through the store, and I was just so disgusted with me because I had just so blown it. I had so been unchristlike. And then the way the Lord sometimes will talk to me is he'll ask me a question. You know, and so I'm in this bookstore, and the Holy Spirit very clearly says, who chose who? And I remembered this verse. Verse 16, it says very plainly, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I was like, yeah, but God, you didn't know what you was doing. You know, I mean, I really felt that. That was my first reaction, but you had no idea what you was doing. So then the Lord said, well, when do you think I chose you? You know, and then the Rolodex started rolling, flipping and stuff. And of course, he chose me before the foundations of the world. And so he chose me not only before the foundations of the world, but he chose me at the end of the foundations of the world or the end of eternity or whatever. It was all, for him, the beginning and the end is all the same. He sees it all. He always has. And as I was kind of taking all that in, he really spoke so clearly to me. He said, today surprised you, but it didn't surprise me. I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to come this day. So why are you sweating it? I said, but Lord, I'm so terrible. And he goes, well, get used to it. It's not about you. It's really about me. Get your eyes off you. Get your eyes on me. And realize that there's nothing that you've ever done, nothing that you'll ever do, that will cause me to love you any less at any time than what I've always loved you. And my love has been so far beyond what your comprehension of love is. Just do the best you can with that one. But just realize that I love you completely, no matter what. And then he spoke the most unbelievable words. Said, and I believe in you. Now, will you believe in me? That was a real one of those epiphany which we're coming up on, by the way. See how I worked that in there? Wasn't that nice? Epiphany. It was an epiphany for me. I didn't plan that. That just happened. So, which was a changed. And that's what an epiphany is about. It's an epiphany is something happens that changes everything for you. And that was one of those moments for me, standing in a bookstore, a Christian bookstore in Fairfield, Alabama, which is no longer there, when God spoke so clearly to me that in a way that I realized that it really wasn't about me so much. It wasn't about my failure, and it certainly wasn't about any success that I thought I had, because the failures always outweighed the successes in my life. And they probably still do, even after all this time, and even in walking in the priesthood and as a deacon and stuff like that, they probably still do. You know. But it's okay, because he first chose me and first loved me, and all he's ever asked of me is just to love him. That's all he asked of you. It's just simply love him. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about a failure. Don't worry about an accusation. Just worry about what he has spoken to you as truth, and that truth is he loves you. He loves you, not because of anything, but His love for you. Not because you're bad, not because you're good, you know. I always banked on the fact that, you know, like that I was the one, you know. That even as bad as I was the one that He was going to always chase down. But not even that. He just loves us, loves you because He does. For no reason other than His love for you. And just accept that from Him in this season, especially in this coming year, at the beginning of the year. Just accept His gracious, scandalous, wonderless, wonderful love that He has simply for you. And you know, and then just abide in that love. Abide in that love because He is love. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.